Today's daf is Yuma Daf Nunhei, and we are at the last line of Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis, Natal as Adam Mimisha Memaris Boy V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema, for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Sarah bas Batya, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, and Aryeh Eliezer ben Malka. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus V'yecheskel Shraga ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned L'ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol Lechayim Toivim Remoshe Chayim. So we're in the middle of discussing the Avodah that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. There have been many digressions, but today's daf is going to return to the core Avodah, specifically the Hazo'os that were done with the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Soer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So two of the special Karbonos that were brought on Yom Kippur were a Par and a Soer. The Par was a bull. It was the Par that was known as the Par of the Kohen Gadol. It was mechaper for the Kohen Gadol, his family, and for all of the Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol would say vidui on the Par twice. Additionally, he would take the Dam of the Par and he would do several hazos. The Sa'ir was a goat. It was the Sa'ir Lashem. There were two goats. One went Lashem, one went Lazazel. The one that went Lazazel wasn't really a carbon. It was sent into the Midbar. The one that went Lashem was a carbon. It required shchita, kabbalah, hilacha, zrika, like every carbon does. It was a carbon chatas. And its dam also required several sets of hazois. The first set of hazois that were done with the par, and the first set of hazois that were done with the sair, were done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Eight hazois, respectively. Meaning, eight with the par, eight with the sair, and the way the eight were done was achas lemala, v'sheva lemata. So we're going to see exactly what achas lemala, v'sheva lemata means. And we're going to learn some of the details as it relates to the eight hazois that were done with the Dam HaPar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the eight hazois that were done with the Dam of the Sar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Zokta Gemara. The Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol, when he would do the hazois, both with the Dam of the Par and with the Dam of the Sar, loy hoye mischavin lehazois, loy lamala v'loy lamata, elo kematzlich. Meaning the Mishnah says the way he did the hazois was achas lamala v'sheva lamata, one on top and seven on the bottom. And then the Mishnah says, he never had kavanah to do anything lamala. He never had kavanah to do anything lamata. Elokim matzlif. So what does this even mean? Says the Gemara, Maika matzlif, machvi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda demonstrated, meaning he didn't just explain, but he actually made a demonstration. Kiminagdona. Rashi, kimaka birutzua, like somebody that hits somebody with a whip. Shemaschol minaksofim, he starts hitting the person first from the shoulder. Umaka vahilach lamata, and then he starts hitting him lower on his body. Meaning, if somebody's going to hit somebody eight times, he won't hit him all eight times in the same place. That's just going to hurt too much. So what he would do is he would start hitting him higher up on his body, and then each blow would be a little bit lower. Achas lamala v'sheva lamata means that when the Kohen Gadol did the hazois, the first one was the equivalent of being on the shoulders, meaning it was higher up, achas lamala, and then each one was done a little bit lower in succession. But here's the point. They didn't physically go on the aron, they didn't physically go on the kapoiras, they went on the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Lamala and lamata usually means one on the top of something, the other on the bottom of something. It wasn't on the top or the bottom of anything. It was on the floor. There's no lamala and lamata on the floor. Rather, what it means is kimnagdono, like Rabbi Yehuda said, one was a little bit farther away from him, and then each one came a little bit closer to him in succession. In fact, the Braisa says what we just said, tano, kshumaza inimaza la kapiris. He never did any azois on the kapiris. Eli kineged oviyashol kapiris. What he did was he spritzed it in the direction of the kapiris. Kshumaza lamala. So what does it mean? Achas lamala v'sheva lamata. When he did it, lamala mitzadid yodoy lamata. What he would do is the bottom of his hand would be lamata, meaning a little bit lower, and he would push the blood upwards so that it should go farther away. That's the definition of achas lamala, ukishu mazal lamata. And when he did the other seven hazois, mitzaded yodoy lamala, the back of his hand would be towards the ceiling, it would be a little bit higher, and he would push his finger downwards, and in that sense, it's sheva lamata. But again, achas lamala, the sheva lamata does not mean on the top of something or on the bottom of something. What it means, one was further away, and then each one came a little bit closer. What makes one lamala and seven lamata? So from the brisa that the Gemara brought, it sounds like it's a little bit more the way he held his hand. Did you hold your hand a little bit lower and throw it a little bit higher? That's achas lamala. It was the hand held a little bit higher, and then he flicked it more downwards. That's what sheva lamata means. Zok digamar minani mili. What's the makar to all this? And the truth is that the minani mili, which is going to take us through the majority of the amid, is going to do a deep dive into two of the psukim in Parashas Achrimos, like many of the sugyas in Masechtas Yuma do, but specifically the psukim that talk about the hazois that were done with the dam apar and the dam asar. So it's kedai to just go through the pasuk, and then we'll see how the Gemara darshins it. So the pasuk says, "V'lochach midam apar." The kohen gadol should take from the blood of the par, he's a betz boy, al pnei kapoiris kedma, and he should be maza. He should do a hazah. He should do a zriko with his finger al pnei kapoiris on the face of the kapoiris kedma towards the east. The lifnei hakapoiris and in front of the kapoiris yaza shiva pa'amim. He should spritz 7 times min hadam again from the blood betz boy with his fingers. So you see a couple of things. Number one, the way the hazal was done was with his finger. The kohen gadol would take his finger and put it into the blood, and that's the way he did the hazal. Additionally, you see that the pasuk describes two sets of hazois. The first set is v'hiza betzboi al pnei hakapoiris kedma, which sounds like on the actual kapoiris. The second set is v'lefnei hakapoiris yaza sheva domim min betzboi. The second set, it should be lefnei hakapoiris. So again, it's the dam of the par, he's using his finger. Two sets. One set is on the kapoiris itself, al pnei hakapoiris kedma. That's what it sounds like. The second set is v'lifnei hakapoiris, in front of the kapoiris, yaza sheva pamim min adam betzboi. So the first set sounds like it should be ala kapoiris, sounds like on the actual kapoiris. The second set sounds like it should be v'lifnei hakapoiris. It should only be in front of the kapoiris. Now, how many azois were in the second set? The pasuk says, v'lifnei hakapoiris yaza sheva pamim. 7 azois. How many azois were on the first set? It doesn't say. It just says v'hiza be'etzboi al pnei hakapoiris kedma, but it doesn't say how many azois. Now we know achas lemalo v'shefa lemato, but the question is, where does that one come from? It's not clear. What the pasuk says is v'hiza be'etzboi al pnei hakapoiris kedma. That's the first. So we don't know how many. V'lefnei hakapoiris, the second say yaza shefa pama. That's mefurish in the term. So the Gemara is going to address all this. The next pasuk is v'shachad asir achatas ashalom. Then the kohen gadol shechted the goat that belonged to the am. V'hevi yastamei ami beislachat brachas. And again, he took the dam and he brought it into and he did with the dam kasha asa ladam hapar, the same thing that he did with the dam hapar. Now the truth is, if we would stop here, it sounds like maybe we would know everything. Just do with the dam asar what you did with the dam hapar. So whatever the halach is with the dam hapar, two sets, that's what you should do with the dam hasar. But the pasuk specifically says what you should do. V'hiza oisoi ala kapoiris, you should be maza it on the kapoiris, v'lifnei hakapoiris, and you should also do azois on the kapoiris, which is essentially what was done with the dam hapar. The dam hapar had two sets. The first set was al pnei hakapoiris kedma. The second set was v'lifnei hakapoiris yaza sheva pamim. The sar was treated the same way the par was. V'asnes domikasha osa la dam hapar, v'hiza oisoi ala kapoiris, and the lifnei hakapoiris. But the truth is, this pasuk adds one knetch and subtracts one knetch from the previous pasuk. This pasuk doesn't mention how many azois were done the lifnei hakapoiris. It just says v'hiza oisoi ala kapoiris v'lifnei hakapoiris. By the par, it said yaza sheva pamim lifnei hakapoiris. Here it just says v'lifnei hakapoiris. However, this pasuk does tell us how many azois were done ala kapoiris, because it says v'hiza oisoi ala kapoiris. Oisoi is a lashon yachid, which seems to say that all you need to do is one hazah. So the pasuk that talks about the hazah with the dam hapar and the pasuk that talks about the hazah with the dam hasayir both describe two sets. One is al hakapoiris and the other one is v'lifnei hakapoiris. The pasuk of the par tells me how many should be v'lifnei hakapoiris, 7. The pasuk by the sar tells me how many should be al hakapoiris, 1. The pasuk by the par does not tell me how many should be al hakapoiris, and the pasuk by the sar does not tell me how many should be v'lifnei hakapoiris. But it does say v'asas domi kasha asal adam par. It says that they're all supposed to be the same. So l'chura, by combining what we know from the pasuk that describes the azor with the dam par and what we know about from the pasuk that describes what you're supposed to do with the dam asar, we seem to know what you're supposed to do. One one hazah should be al hakapayrus, and the seven hazahs should be the lifnei hakapayrus. And that's why we know achas lamala v'shev lamata. One other thing worth speaking out before we see it inside, and that is, al hakapayrus sounds like it should physically be on the kapayrus. Lifnei hakapayrus sounds like it should just be in front of the kapayrus. Now, we just spoke out in the beginning of the daf that really the hazois did not go on the kapayrus. And the definition of achas lamayla v'shev lamata just means how he held his hand. But from the pasuk itself, it sounds like it actually go on his hand. The achas lamala is al hakapayrus, and the shev lamata is v'lifnei hakapayrus. So we'll see in the Gemara now everything that we just spoke about. Zok the Gemara. Minohani mili. What's the makar? How do you know that the achas lamala did not actually go on the kapayrus? In fact, from the pasuk, it sounds like that it should go ala kapayrus. Ala kapayrus sounds like it's supposed to go on the kapayrus. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, Amar Rav Zeira, the name of Rav Zeira, Amakra, the pasuk says, v'hiza oisai ala kapayrus, v'lifnei hakapayrus. It says in the Torah that you should be maza v'dam hasoir al hakapayrus and lifnei hakapayrus. Said Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the name of Rav Zeira, a basic kasha, lo yoyma lamata v'soir. Why did the Torah say that you should spritz with the dam hasar lifnei hakapayrus? The loyt sarach. It wasn't necessary. The gama mi mata de par. Because l'chura, I know it already from mata de par. Meaning, we mentioned that it doesn't say in the Torah how many times you're supposed to do hazah lemata with the dam of the sar. Now, we know it's seven because we learn it from the mata of the dam of the par. But once I'm anyways learning lemata by the dam hasar from lemata by the dam hapar, why did Torah even have to mention in the first place that you should do any hazois lemata by the dam hasar? Just say you have to do it lemata by the dam hapar. Say what the pasuk anyway says. Va'asa es domi kasha asa ledam hapar. Treat the sar like you treat the par. Why does Torah have to tell me that you should do lemata by the dam hasar? Now bishloim lemala by the dam hasar, the Torah had to say, because that is the makar of achas lemala. Without that pasuk, I wouldn't have known achas lemala. But lemata from the dam hasar, l'chura, is not necessary. Because I anyways need to know the number from the dam hapar, since it's not really teaching me anything. Once I know I treat the dam hasar the way I treat the dam hapar, so why did Torah even mention it in the first place? So said, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the name of Rav Zeira, the reason is, l'akushe al lilifne. The Torah wanted to make a hekish between the hazois that were done lamata, meaning lifnei hakapayrus, and the hazois that were done lamala, meaning al hakapayrus, ma lifnei, the lav al. Just like the ones that were lifnei were not al, meaning they weren't on the kapayrus, they were just in front of the kapayrus, af al, the lav al. So too, the ones that say al hakapayrus don't really mean al hakapayrus. So the point is that the Torah did not have to say that you should do any hazois with the dam hasair lifnei hakapayrus. Why did the Torah mention it? To teach me something. What's it coming to teach me? That the al hakapayrus is like this extra thing that the Torah mentioned, like the lifnei hakapayrus. And just lifnei doesn't mean on the kapayrus, so to al hakapayrus also doesn't mean al hakapayrus. That's the makarda where it says al hakapayrus. It doesn't literally mean al hakapayrus. I can make a reverse cheshbin, which is going to come out with a reverse calculation, meaning it shouldn't say have said lamala bepar the loytzarach the gama mimaila desar lama nema. Why did the Torah say that you should do lamaila by the dam hapar? Okay, what's the point? It doesn't say how many hazois is supposed to do lamaila with the dam hapar. Now we know it's one, but we learn it from the dam of the sar. So why did the Torah mention it in the first place? Now, you can't say the Torah mentioned it so that I should know that you do an alamayla by the dam of the par, because I anyways know you do an alamayla by the dam of the par, because it says, v'asa es domi kasha asa la dam of the par. So I know the dam asar and the dam of the par were done in the same way. So why did the Torah even mention that it should be achas lamayla, since the Gemara, so maybe the reason is to make a hekish, the same hekish like we said earlier, la kushe lifnei la'al, to tell me that the lifnei should be like the al. Ma al al mamish, just like when it says alakapar, usually it means al mamish. Af lifnei al mamish, maybe when it says lifnei it also means al mamish. So the Gemara says that you're telling me that because the lifnei hakapayrus of the dam hasar is extra, that teaches me that al is always like lifnei and it never goes on the kapayrus, even the achas lamalo, maybe if I care, the al of par is also extra. And maybe that's coming to teach me that it's always al. And even the lifneis, even the shev lamata is al. So the Gemara says, no, haima, I amir bishloima lamata desar lakushe. Bishloima, if the one that we're using for the hekish is the lamata of the sar, lamayla of the par, mi boyle the kitatan of the rabbi lezer ben Yaakov. I can answer your question of why the Torah mentioned achas lamayla by the par, because I actually need it for something. Not to teach me achas lamayla, but for something else. The tan of the rabbi lezer ben Yaakov, apnea kapiris kedma, that pasuk, apnea kapiris kedma, the abana of it, teaches me, kalmakam shenema pnei ene elekadim, that wherever it says the word pnei, it always means the eastern front. Meaning, when the pasuk said al pnea kapiris, it meant kedma, the eastern side. Anytime it says the word pnei in the Torah, it always means the east. So I have what to do with that. Aliyamet lamayla the par lakushay. But if lamayla the par is lakushay, that means lamata the sar is extra. And lamayasa, I don't have what to do with it. So therefore, I need the lamata the sar to teach me that just like lifnei doesn't mean on the mizbeach, so too al doesn't mean on it either. So the bottom line is that even though when you read the pasuk in the Torah, it says that the Kohen Gadol used to enter the Kodesh HaKadosh, and he did hazoyis with the dam of the par, with the dam of the sar, and he did achas lemalo v'sheva lemato, and the achas lemalo sounds like it was actually on the mizbeach. It sounds like it was ala kapiris, not the mizbeach, the aron. Sounds like it was on the kapiris of the aron, and the sheva lemato sounds like it was lifnei the aron. It wasn't literally on the aron. So from reading the pasuk, it sounds like the achas lemalo touched the aron, and the sheva lemato did not touch the aron. But really, after further review, what the Gemara says is it's not the case. The ala kapiris and the lifnei kapiris all did not touch the aron. How do I know that? Because the lifnei hakapiris of the dam hazor is extra to teach me that all the hazoris were only lifnei. Even the ones that say al didn't really mean al. All they meant was lifnei. Zok the Gemara vayter. More drushes to bring out this halacha. Tanu Rabbanu b'hizo isay al hakapiris for lifnei hakapiris. It says in the Torah that you should do the hazor al hakapiris for lifnei hakapiris. So this is talking about the dam of the sar. So again, we have the pasuk with the dam apar, we have the pasuk with the dam asar. We mentioned earlier the Torah says how many hazoyis were lamato with the dam apar, sheva. How many hazoyis were lamalo by the dam asar? He's a oisa, he's a lashon yachid. Torah did not mention how many are lamailo with the dam apar and how many lamato with the dam asar. How do I know it? So we said we learn one from the other. That's what this next gemara is about to be. So again, it says he's a oisa ala kapores v'fnei kapores by the dam asar. The man kama lamailo besar. Ach, I know how many is supposed to do lamailo by the sar. One. Because it says v'hiza oisay, oisay zol lashon yachid, lamata b'sar eni yodeh. But from the pasuk itself, I don't know how many was supposed to be lamata by the sar. I mean, it done. So I can make the following cheshbon: never double lamata b'par, never double lamata b'sar. It says there was supposed to be hazos lamata by the par, and there was supposed to be hazos lamata by the sar. Mat lamata b'par sheva, just like by the par. How many were lamata? Was seven. After lamata b'sar sheva, so two lamata by the sar is also sheva. Iklach l'derech zu. Maybe make a different cheshbon: never double lamata b'sar, never double lamata b'sar. It says it was supposed to be hazos lamaila by the sar, and it says it was supposed to be hazos lamata by the sar. Mal lamaila b'sar achas, just like lamaila by the sar. It says oisa, which is one. Af lamata b'sar achas. So to lamata by the sar it's achas. So really, I have two choices. In theory, I can learn lamata by the dama sar from the mata of the dama par, or I can learn lamata from the dama sar from the maila of the dama sar. If I learn it from lamata of the dama par, it's going to be seven. If I learn it lamaila from the dama sar, it's going to be one. So the Gemara says, which should I learn it from? Should I learn lamata from the dama sar from the mata of the dama par? Or should I learn the mata from the damasar, from the maila from the damapar? So the Gemara says, nira lemidaimo. What is it more similar to? So let's make a basic cheshbon. Is lamata from the damasar more similar to lamata from the damapar? Or is it more similar to lamaila from the damasar? So it's basic cheshbon. It has one thing in common with lamata from the damapar. What's that? They're both lamata. It has something in common with lamaila of the damasar. What's that? They're both the sar. So the Gemara says, "Don't mata mi mata, vein don't mata mil mailo." L'chura, I would say, "Learn mata mi mata, learn mata mi damasar from mata mi damapar." Other rabbi, the Gemara says, "Maybe the opposite. Don't learn gufa mi gufa, vein don't learn gufa mi alma. Learn sar from sar. Don't learn sar from par." Talmud Loimar. It says, "Va'asa es domi kasha asa le damapar." It says that you should treat the damasar the way you treat the damapar. She'in Talmud Loimar kasha asa. The words kasha asa extra. Ma Talmud Loimar kasha asa. She'iu kolas yosef shavis. Everything about the damapar should be like the damasar. Meaning, kishem shel mata bepar. Sheva, just like lamata with the par sheva, kach lamata b'sar sheva, so to lamata by the sar is a sheva. So that's how you know, even though it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that lamata by the sar should be sheva, but it has to be like the par, and by the par with sheva, here has to be sheva as well. So the Gemara is going to do the same exact exercise now, word for word, kamat, to teach me how many were lamaila by the dama par. So again, lamadnu, kama lamata b'par. We know how many hazois was supposed to be lamata by the par, the Torah says, seven. Ubisair sheva. I also know that by the psar, it had to be sheva. That's the previous brisa that we just learned. Lamaila b'par any idea, but I don't know how many azoyis is supposed to be lamaila by the par. Now I know how many azoyis is supposed to do lamaila by the sar because it says oisay, which means one. But how many by the par? Vareni dot. So lachura, I can make the following cheshbon. Never double lamaila b'sar, but never double lamaila b'par. It says there was supposed to be azoyis lamaila by the sar. There was supposed to be azoyis lamaila by the par. Not lamaila b'sar achas. Just like by the sar was one, after lamaila b'par achas. So it makes sense by the par it should also be one. Oiklach l'derech zu. Maybe make a different cheshbon. Never double lamata b'par, but never double lamaila b'par. It says there was supposed to be azoyis lamata by the par. To be azoyis lamaila by the par, malamata by par sheva, just like lamata by the par was seven, after lamaila by par sheva, so to lamaila by par sheva. So again, I can learn lamaila de par from lamaila de sayer, or I can learn lamaila de par from lamata de par. What are the two tzadim? Do I learn lamaila from lamaila, Or do I learn par from par? Zanir lami doima. What is it more similar to? Dana maila mi maila, vein dana maila mi mata. At first glance, you would say, learn maila de par from maila de sar, maila mi maila. Adar rabba, dana gufay mi gufay, vein dana gufay mi amal. I can make the reverse cheshbon. Learn par from par, don't learn par from sar. Tamad loima, the same drasha, v'asa, es dami kasha asa. It says you should treat the dama de sar the way you treat the dama de par. Shein tamad lami kasha asa. The Torah didn't have to say the word kasha asa, not tamad lami kasha asa. Sheyiyu kol asni yoysav shavois. All of them have to be the same. Meaning, kishem shalamata de par sheva, just like the by the power with Sheva, Kach Lamata Besar Sheva. So to Lamata Besar with Sheva, Kshem Shalamayla Besar Achas, Kach Lamayla Bepar Achas, exhale. So just to chazer over what we just did, if you look in the Psukim in the Torah, the Pasuk says that the Hazois that were done by the Kohen Gadol with the Dam of the Par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Hazois that were done with the Dam of the Sar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's clear that there were two sets. One was Ala Kapiris and the other one was Lifnei Kapiris. What the exact numbers were a little bit unclear. In fact, by the par, it doesn't tell us how many was supposed to be Ala Kapiris, but it says 7 Lifnei Kapiris. By the Sar, it says 1 Ala Kapiris. It doesn't say how many Lifnei Kapiris. So there's a lot of missing information. Not just that, from the Pasuk, Ala Kapiris sounds like it literally landed on the Arim. Lifnei Kapiris sounds like it was only on the floor. Says the Gemara, Torah Shebal Peh, based on this long Braisa, two different drushes, what emerges is the following. Number one, nothing went on the Aron. Everything was lifting. And when it says al, it doesn't mean literally al. It means achas lamayla v'sheva lamata, but everything landed on the floor. Nothing actually went on the kapiras. How many went lamayla? One, for the par and for the sar. How many went lamata? 7, for the par and for the sar. It's not mafurish in the Torah, it's true. But it does say, v'asa es damai kasha asa l'dama par, and we learn from there, the par and the sar had to be exactly the same. So they both had achas lamayla, they both had sheva lamata, none of them touched the kapiras. So what does it mean? Achas lamayla v'sheva lamata, one he was facing his hand in one direction, the other 7 he was facing his hand in the other direction. And what does it mean when the Mishnah says it was kematzlif? Rav Yehuda demonstrated kimenag dono. It means the first one was far from him, like the person who whips someone in the shoulders, and then each shmeis, he ends up lowering it a little bit. That's the way the hazois were done. So the Mishnah says, v'kacho yomoin, that the Kohen Gadol, when he did the hazois in the Kodesh HaKadosh, both with the Dam of the Par and with the Dam of the Sar, 8 hazois, he would count. And the Mishnah said he counted as follows. He would say, achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholish, achas v'arba, achas v'chomish, achas v'shesh, achas v'sheva. He counted 8, but he counted 8 in a funny way. First he said achas, which is 1. Then he said achas v'achas, which is 2. Achas v'shtayim, which is really 3. Achas v'sholish is 4, up until achas v'sheva, which ended up getting him to 8. So Zokta Gemara, 2 comments as it relates to the way the Kohen Gadol used to count. Number 1, a braisa. Tanu Rabbanon, achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholish, achas v'arba, achas v'chamish, achas v'shesh, achas v'sheva, divrei Rameir. Rameir has it the way we just mentioned it. Rabbi Yehuda said, achas, achas v'achas, shtayim v'achas, sholish v'achas, arba v'achas, chomish v'achas, sheish v'achas, sheva v'achas. So we have a machloikis between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda. Ramey has it with our girsa. First, you always say achas. Achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholish. Rabbi Yehuda had it just the opposite. Achas, achas v'achas, but then you say shtayim v'achas, sholish v'achas, arba v'achas, chomish v'achas. So according to me, you always say the achas first. According to me, you always say the first number first. So it sounds like it's a machloikis. The Gemara says, no, v'loi plig, it's really not a machloikis, but rather, marki asrei, umarki asrei. They were both following the way that people used to count in their respective lands. So Rashi explains. It's kedai to see Rashi inside. Dibura maskil, marki asrei v'chulu. Ba'asrei, the Rameyer, where Rameyer lived, moinem minyan klal tchila, v'achakach prat. When people would count, poshet, how do you count? So when people would count, first they would count the minyan haklal, the general number, and then they would count the minyan haprat. And Rashi gives an example. Go ahead. Esrim v'achas, esrim v'shtayim. So if you want to say 21 on Lashon Kodesh, you would say esrim v'achas or achas v'esrim. So in Rameir's town, they would say esrim v'achas, esrim v'shtayim. Esrim is the klal, 20. That's the more general number. 21, the 1 is the specific number, 22, the 2 is the specific number, 23. So first the klal and then the prat. In this counting, the achas is the klal. Because you're always going to say achas. That's the constant. That's like 21, 22, 23. Achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholish, achas v'arba. So the achas is the equivalent of the 20. So says Rashi, that ba'atzud Rameir, they would say 21, 22. So therefore, it's achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholish. But ba'atzud, the Rabbi Huda Zak Rashi, prat chilo. They would always count the prat first. Shtayim v'esrim, sholish v'esrim. The way they said 22 was not esrim v'shtayim, but shtayim v'esrim. So therefore, when it comes to achas v'shtayim, they would first say the shtayim, which is the prat, and then the achas. It really, there's no machloik, it's just a matter of minig. And you see from here that a person is supposed to count the way the minig is for him to count. Zok tigmat, kuli amam, yes, everybody agrees. Meaning, Ramei, Rabbi Huda, even though they have a machloik, is exactly how you're supposed to count. But one thing they agree on is, hazor rishon etzricha minyan im kol achas v'achas. Then instead of counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the way they would count is achas, that was the achas l'mayla. And then when they said the second one, it wasn't just the achas l'mata, but it was achas v'achas. Achas v'shtayim. Right, what's the achas v'achas? The achas l'mayla, you're chazering it over, together with the achas l'mata. Achas l'mayla, you're chazering it over with the shtayim l'mata. Right, why don't you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Just push it. It's because even though there were eight, but there were two sets. There was the one and there was the seven. But even if there's two sets and you want to break it up, so you should count achas. And then again, start achas, shtayim, sholish, arba, chamesh, sheish, and sheva. Why are you chazering over the achas? That's the Gemara's question. Everybody agrees you count it over. What's the reason? So the Gemara says two reasons. Rabbi Lazar said, shelo yitav azois. The reason is they don't want the person to make a mistake. Because it's easy to make a mistake sometimes when you count. So if you're going to force the person to take a little bit of time in between counting, it's going to slow him down a little bit, and it's going to decrease the chances of him actually making a mistake. So instead of saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, achas, v'achas, achas, v'shtayim, achas, v'sholosh, every time you say achas, it's a little bit of a hesitation, it's a pause. It's like this, less of a chance you're going to make a mistake. Rabbi Yochanan said, Amakro, it's learned from a pasuk. It says, v'lefnei kapoires yazeh sheva pamim. The pasuk says, "V'hi's a betzpoy al pnei akapiris keidmo v'lifnei akapiris yazeh sheva pamim," which seems to bring the two together: the hazah that was al pnei akapiris together with the one that was lifnei akapiris. Meaning, she'i talmud loimer yazeh u'ma talmud loimer yazeh. It could have just said, "V'hi's a betzpoy al pnei akapiris keidmo v'lifnei akapiris sheva pamim." Why there if the chaz of the words yazeh again? Even al hazah rishonish tzicha minyan kol achas v'achas. To put them all together to tell me that the first hazah needs to be counted with each individual hazah. So according to Rabbi Lazar, it's a practical thing. We just don't want you to make a mistake. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a din that you have to always count the first one. Maybinai, what's the nafkimini? What would be if the person didn't count the achas l'mayla, but he didn't make a mistake? According to Rabbi Lazar, it's fine. We just want you to say achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholosh, to make sure you don't make a mistake. So you didn't make a mistake. Everything is good. You got away with it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a din. There's a din. This is the way you have to count. So if you didn't count that way, it's actually going to be a problem. The Mishnah said, Yotza, he went out. V'hinichoy al tan hazov shebehechol. So after the Kohen Gadol did the hazois with the Dam of the Par, there was a stand. It was made of gold. It was inside the Hechel. That's where he left the Dam of the Par. Then he would take the Dam of the Sar, do the hazois, bring it out, and he would put that on a stand as well. Now the Mishnah says that there were two stands. One stand was for the Dam of the Par. The other stand was for the Dam of the Sar. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said, L'hoyisham elo kan echad bilvad. All there was one stand. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Were there two stands to put the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Sar? Or was it only one stand? Zok de Gemara, Tan Hasa. We learned in a Mishnah over there. So where is there? It's in Mesechtes Shekalim. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, L'hoyu shoifreis l'kinei chayva mepnei hatarayva. So this is really a sugya that the Gemara in the end of Mesechtes Shekalim discusses, and that is that there were many shofaros in the Beis HaMikdash. Now these shofaros weren't shofaros that were blown with, but rather these were money chests. They were shaped like a shofar. That's why they were called shofaros. And the purpose of it was that if people had to give money to the Beis HaMikdash for whatever reason, different shofaros were meant to be used for different things. So one of the shofaros were used for kinim. Kinim are birds that are being brought as karbanos. And the way these birds are brought can be rather complicated. Not just that, usually the people that brought birds as karbanos were women. A zava, a yoledes. She was the one very often that had to bring the birds. And as a result, the whole process of how these birds were brought was simplified in the Beis HaMikdash. So one of the things that was done is that if a woman was responsible, or a man for that matter, to bring kinin, so he would go to speak to somebody, he would tell the person how much money he needs, You need 10 shekel. So you would take the 10 shekel, put it in the shofar, and the kohanim, at the end of the day, they would go, take all the shekelim out, they would count it up. If they saw there was 100 shekel, that means 10 people have to bring kinim, there would be makrif 10 kinim, and they would have in mind whoever put the money in. And that's the way these things were brought. So Rabbi Yehuda argued, Rabbi Yehuda said that even though there were shofars for kinim, but only for kinei nedava, not for kinei chayva. So if a nedava means somebody wants to, out of the good, his goodwill, to bring a carbon. So if somebody decided to be menadiv, carbon, that's kinen, that's something that you can use the shofar for. But if somebody was obligated to, that was not okay. Now the difference between kinei nedava and kinei chayva is kinei nedava are oilos. It was always two. Birds always had to be brought in sets, but they were both oilos. Kinei chayva was achas la'oila v'achas l'chatas. One was an oila, one was a chatas. Rabbi Yehuda said that these shofars were able to be used for kinei nedava. They weren't able to be used for kinei chayva. And he gave a reason for it. He said, because of taruvas. So the Gemara says, "My mipnei taruvas." What's the taruvas? I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, "Mipnei taruvas chayvim in adav." Because he was afraid that if he's going to use kinim for and the shayfres for both kinei nadava and kinei chayva, one woman's going to put him for kinei nadava, another one's going to put him for kinei chayva. They're going to get mixed up, and once they get mixed up, you're going to have a problem. Now, who cares if they get mixed up? So Ayin Rashi in the bottom of the Yomim, he explains it. But you can't mix up the kinei nadava and the kinei chayva. That causes gotchim problems. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said, you can't use a shayfer for chayva, because if you can use it for nadava and for chayva, it's going to get mixed up. So therefore, he said, the only time you can use the shayfer is for kinei nadava. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, as he almost always does, v'navitrei. Why? What's the problem? Why can you use a shofar for kinei chayva? Because you're afraid it's going to get mixed up with the kinei nedava? Just make two shofars, v'nichtav alayu, and write on it, haida chayva v'haida nedava. You'll explain which is chayva, which is nedava. So Rabbi Yosef told him, Rabbi Yehuda less like ksiva. Rabbi Yehuda says he can't be soymech on ksiva. Can't be soymech on ksiva. Top Rashi, the zimnin the lava daite liyune b'ksav. Because sometimes you don't pay attention to what's written. So you can't be soymech on it. As a result, it's not going to be okay. Zakta Gemara. How do you know Rabbi Yehuda's not soymech on ksiva? And a better question, what in the world does this have to do with Masechtas Yuma and the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? Zok to Gemara, Rabbi Yosef told Abaye, I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda does not say Mechan Ksiv. The time we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, L'hoi Yisham Elekhan Echa B'lvad. Rabbi Yehuda said that there was only one stand that was in the Heichal for the Dam of the Par, the Dam of the Sar. So he said, I don't understand. Shreit my time alloy. Why not two? Mishum the Mechalfi. Because he was afraid that if there would be two stands, you're going to have them both sitting on the stand. You're going to forget which one is which. And you're going to mix up the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Sar. So his question was, V'navitre, just make two. V'licht of Elayu, hide the Par, hide the Sar. And write which is the Par and which is the Sar. Oh, El Rabbi Yehuda less like Ksiva. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Ksiva. That's what it has to do with our Sugi. Who the hell that you couldn't have two stands, one for the Par, one for the Sar, and just rely that you're going to know which is the Dam of the Par, which is the Dam of the Sar? The reason is because you're going to end up confusing it. I write it. The Teretz is Rabbi Yehuda less like Siva. That's why Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai wasn't okay having two shofres, one for the kinei nedava, one for the kinei chayva, and writing which is the nedava, which is the chayva, because he was afraid that you were going to mix it up. And you can't mix it up. That's going to be a problem. Great thing about Meisvei. I'll ask you a kash on all this. Is that true? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of ksiva, shalish, esrei, shofres, chayva, mikdash. There were 13 shofres in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayikasav aleihem, and it said on them as follows. The first one said, tiklin chadetin. That's for the new machtes hashekel. Tiklin not tiklin, but the old machtes hashekel. Kinim, that's for the birds. Goyiz, the goyiz le oila. The Eitzim is 5, Ulavoyna 6, the Zahav Likafiris, and gold that was used for the Kalim, 7, the Shishal Nadava, and 6 Finadavas. Together you have 13. The Gemara explains it a little bit. Tikkun Chadatin, Elush Kalm Shalkon Hashon Bashon. The one that said Tikkun Chadatin, that's for somebody who wanted to give Machsa Shakal. Tikkun Natikin, the Tikkun Natikin, that's Mishal Shakal, the Shtak, Yishkal Shanaba. Someone that didn't give Machsa Shakal last year. So this year, when he gives the Machsa Shakal, the money went for something else. It was a different use of proceeds. So it ended up going into a separate shofar. Kinin, what does kinin mean? Hein toirin. It's referring to the toirin. That's one type of bird that could be used as a carbon. Goizle oila, hein b'nei yayna. That's b'nei yayna. The kulan oilas, they were all oilas. Here's the punchline. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds there were a bunch of different shofars. And different shofars had different things. Now, how do you know which one's which? Different money has to be used for different things. You can't just indiscriminately interchange the money. The teretz is, it was written. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda does hold of ksiva. So what's the kasha? We're focusing on the digression now. So going back to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda said there were no shofars for kinei chayva mipnei hataroivas. Meaning, you can't have kinei nedove and kinei chayve together in the same shofar. As a result, the rule was never deposit money for kinei chayve. The shofar worked for kinei nedove, it didn't work for kinei chayve. What's the kasha? Make two shofars. So Rabbi Yosef said, no, the reason you can't have two shofars is because of we're not soymech on ksiva. Like Rabbi Yehuda seems to hold by the Yom Kippur, the reason there weren't two stands, one for the Paran, one for the Tsar, is because you wouldn't know which stand is which without relying on Ksiva, and you're not allowed to rely on Ksiva. The problem is that Rabbi Yehuda clearly did rely on Ksiva. So if you relied on Ksiva, why didn't you have two shofars, one for Kinei Nedava and one for Kinei Chayva? Must be the reason Rabbi Yehuda had a problem with having shofars for the kingdom had nothing to do with mixing up Kinei Nedav and Kinei Chayva. Because if he was worried about mixing up Kinei Nedav and Kinei Chayva, there's a very simple workaround. All you need to do is to make two shofars, one for Nedav and one for Chayva. And we know for sure, even though we had a Havamina, maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Ksiva, or Geshmak Tzushta from our Mishnah, but we know Rabbi Yehuda really does hold of. So if that's the case, so what is Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? We need a new pshat. So Kiyos Rav Dimi, Yomer Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said, Amri b'marava, this is what they say in Eretz Yisrael. Gzeir mishum chata shum esu bala. Because the chayva was made up of a chatas and a noila. Now if someone's mafish a karban chatas, or even if someone's mafish money for a karban chatas, and then he dies, the halach is the money or the carbon has a din of chatas shum esu bala, which is one of the chamesh chatois hamesis, like we spoke about earlier in the week, where the halach is it's lamisa asl. You're not allowed to be makrivet. So Rabbi Yehuda was afraid that if a person is just going to deposit the money in the shofar, and then at the end of the day, the kohanim are going to look at the money, and they're going to see how much money came in, they're going to stop being makriv karbanis. What if one of the people died? If one of the people died, that's a chata shemes bala. You're not allowed to be makrivit as a chatas anymore. An oila, you could always be makriv anyways, because an oila could be brought as an adava. So you're never running into problems with an oila. But a chatas, you can have an issue because you have no right to be makriv the chatas. So because of exera, that maybe the owner died, you can't rely on simply putting the money in the shofar and then the kehana, when they get around to it, will be makrivit. Therefore, this doesn't work. Are we worried about this? That a person that mafresh a carbon is going to die? Time we learned in the Mishnah, if someone sends his chatas, Medina Sayyam. He sent the shliach to go bring a chatas for him. Makriv noisa becheska shukayim. The halach is the kahanim allowed to bring the carbon. Maybe the person died. We assume he's alive. So if we assume he's alive, we're not chayish lamisa. So why are we bringing chayish lamisa over here? So the Gemara says, Ela mishum chatas shemesu balei avada. It's not a gzera. Maybe the person's going to die. We're not chayish the person's going to die. The concern is, what happens if we find out that he for sure died? Not maybe he died, we don't know what happened to him. Let's say we know for sure that he died. We know positively that this person died. It's going to mess up everything. Because now you're going to have a shofar that has money from 10 people that were mafresh kinim. One of them died. The one that died, his money you can't bring. Which means you can't bring any of the money. I mean that you can't use any of the money, you're going to have a problem. So it's not a gzera. Maybe the person's going to die without us. We're never going to assume the person died. The gzera is that the person will die and will know he died. Then you're going to end up having it. So it's a little far-fetched, but that's what we're worried about. Right? The Gemara have an Eitzah there too. V'nivrar arba zuzi. Take four zuzi. Rashi says that's the dmei achatas. The price of the chatas was four zuzi. V'nishti b'maya. Throw it into the ocean. V'hanach nishtaru. And the rest should be mutter. Meaning, let's say 10 people put money into the shofar. Of the 10 people, one of them died. This person that died, his money, you can't be used as a to buy a chatas anymore, because it's a chatas shemesu bala. Okay, but nine of them you could. The problem is, but one you can't. Now, what about bittul? So, forget about bittul. But nine of them you could, and one of them you can't. Beit Gemara, take the equivalent of the one, throw it into the ocean, and use the other nine. So the Gemara says that doesn't work, because Rabbi Yehuda less lived Breira, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. Meaning, in order for that to work, you would have to come onto the sugi of Breira. Now, what's Breira? So we're going to see about that already in the next stuff. The Gemara is going to get into Breira a little bit, something that comes up in many sugis and shas. But the point is that if there's a concept that I could do something now, which will somehow allow me to retroactively view something differently in the past, then there is an idea that I can maybe do something to fix the situation. In other words, if Rabbi Yehuda would hold the Breira, so then maybe you can say, take four Zuzim, throw them out, and it'll be Huver Hadav Lamafre, that the four Zuzim that were thrown out were the Zuzim of the person that died. In that case, you don't have the problem of Chata Shemesu Bala anymore in the Taruvas. The other nine people are alive. Everything is going to be okay. The problem is Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira. So because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira, you can't say, as a result, this will not work. The Gemara is going to pick up on this note, but we will see this in Yetz Hashem in the next time.